Does everything you do in life always work out? Or do you often have to revert to plan B? Yeah, thought that might be the case. It's great, of course, when things do work out. But when they don't, when something goes wrong, is it life that has gone wrong? Or is it just our plan of life that has gone wrong? And where is God in all of that? That's what we're going to look at this morning. They say it's quite good for a preacher to call upon their own life's experience in what they deliver. Well, I really want to do that this morning, and I feel God has given me something that I do need to share from my experience as well. So today is an awful lot of testimony in addition to teaching, because in recent days, well, quite a few things have not quite worked out as I might have planned them. And then as I've spoken to a few other people, I get the sense it's not an uncommon story. Let's start with last Sunday. Did you enjoy listening to Vivian talk about Beacon House? It's good, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was good because you told me. But I wouldn't know because I wasn't here. I'd have liked to have listened to it too. Did you realise that Vivian was originally going to come in March? And she was going to come in that week where we had 3 days of snow, all the schools closed, everything shut down. And she phoned me at 8 o'clock in the morning to say, sorry, can't make it any longer, can't even get the car out. So we had our own service and it was great. But so much for us seeing Vivian. Didn't matter, I thought to myself. Got a spot in May. She can come in May. The weather will be fine. It was fine. But I wasn't fine. So I've not only missed plan B, I'm on plan C as far as Beacon House is concerned. That's the way it sometimes works. And they were not the only plans to be disrupted. Last weekend was going to be the weekend of all weekends for me in terms of making progress in my great plan of life, the garden. Yes, after working the previous Saturday for 10 hours solidly in the cold and the rain in soggy conditions of soil that were actually more like conditions you'd found in the trenches in the First World War, it was appalling. But 10 hours work, I was able to do the transforming of the area I was working with, dig some of the weeds out, level the ground, put a membrane down, and move the best part of 2 tons of shingle into this nice new area. It was a good day, but I wasn't finished. But it didn't matter, I thought to myself, because next weekend, bank holiday weekend, the weather's due to be perfect. No problem. It'll be hot, and it was. I'll have 2 days, because it's bank holiday, and I did. Job's as good as finished. Brilliant. And I'll be able to get all of the rest of that little bit of shingle that I didn't quite finish out of the 2 tons, get that moved too. Good. Yeah? Yeah. That is the rest of that pile of 2 tons of shingle in exactly the same place that it was a week and a half ago. And that's yesterday. So much for me being able to do it. The wind blew more on that bank holiday weekend of that shingle than I was able to move. But so it goes sometimes. And all through those glorious days, I had to just sit there and look at the work which I couldn't complete, the stones that I couldn't move, the lawn that I couldn't cut, and the path that was still unfinished. Have you ever had those things where you've planned it? You even put it in the diary. You know you're going to work it out just to find that something comes up last minute and your plans have to be changed. Yeah? You had those moments? Of course you have. And as I spoke to one or two of you, I know that you've experienced the same sort of things. Annalise was so much looking forward to a real holiday, an unusual event for her, a real holiday in Austria. She didn't plan to have a serious accident, knock herself unconscious, damage the side of her face quite badly, end up in significant pain for the whole time that she was there, having emergency medical treatment. Actually, there were plans to see Vienna. She'd had plans to dine out with friends, with beautiful views all around. She hadn't planned to spend her time in the hospital with three hospital meals a day, with the only thing to look at, the decor on the walls of a hospital ward. So much for our plans. But that's life, isn't it? Things go wrong. And she wasn't alone. I know two other people who, along that same period, had other issues with sickness. They'd got plans, both to have quality time with family and friends. Both of them ended up with food poisoning. One of them, friend of Lorinda's, went out for a meal, went round to their next door neighbours for a barbecue. Unfortunately, the food was off, and they ended up spending the rest of the bank holiday weekend being ill. Wonder what that does for your neighbourly relations. Sometimes that's the way it is. And actually, it's so easy for that to happen. Lorinda and I very nearly ended up in exactly the same predicament this week. We ate a meal that we've never eaten before. We called it tuna surprise. The surprise was, it was supposed to be salmon. But when we opened it, and it was almost all ready to go, most of it was cooked in the oven, we're just going to put the salmon on the top. Lorinda had a look and said, is that the right colour? Does it smell right? So close to having a meal we were really going to regret. But we thank God that he'd given us the provision of tuna in the cupboard and we were okay. He looks after us. But that's life. Things go wrong. The question is, what is the Christian response when things go wrong? Do you get upset and throw a strop and perhaps make other people's lives misery around you? Do you get angry, which is often a sign that we're not getting our own way? Or is it possible for us to look to our sovereign God who knows all about it and maybe be able to say to him, okay, Lord, this is not what I planned, but what do you want to do with it? Or teach me through it? That's the mantra I want to encourage you to take on board today. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Or teach me through it? And I want to start with the fact that so often when things of this adverse nature happen, that adversity so often leads to learning opportunities. I want to show you a video clip to illustrate the point. Some of you might have seen this video clip before. It comes from the film Evan Almighty. And in case you don't know, Evan is a man who has been, is in a modern day setting, is a man who's been asked by God to do something extraordinary, incredibly challenging and difficult, and he's going to get ridicule from it. In the clip we're about to watch, we meet his wife, who is at the end of her tether, right up to the point where she has an encounter with God, who in this film just happens to be in the form of Morgan Freeman and working in a restaurant. I'll explain later if you've not seen it. Enjoy.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband, have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Knowing the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
I've never been to that restaurant. Wish I could. When things go wrong, I wonder whether we have the capacity to see them. When things go wrong, our plans may have gone down the pan, but it might just be an opportunity through which God wants to teach you something, to show us something. This week, there was just an element of that with me. With my neck gone into spasm, my back was in a mess. You know the song, don't you? The foot bone connected to the ankle bone, the ankle bone connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the knee bone. You know, I was almost certain someone was going to start singing it. I'm amazed Larry's not singing it, but you know the song. I think I really experienced an understanding of the truth of that in a way I have never experienced this week. Because it was my neck that was in spasm. But as I was wandering around trying to recover from what was going on, strange things were happening. Do you know, I was trying to keep my neck as tense as possible because it was in spasm, because it was so painful to move one way or the other. And I found myself realizing that my whole body was connected in a way I hadn't really quite imagined before. So if I wanted to stand up and turn right, if I just moved my foot quickly, I had this yelping pain in my back just from moving my foot. So I began to learn to walk on the moon, you know, in everything in slow motion. It was incredible. And I've not experienced that before. It was a real learning experience. I hadn't realized just how much when you bend down to pick something up, of course your body compensates to get the center of gravity in the right place. So the muscles in your back tighten and suddenly there's a yelp on your neck because it's all connected. Now that's the physical lesson. The spiritual lesson was all about you, the body of Christ. And I began to think that just as this physical body of mine is such a complex thing that God has given us, so is the body of Christ. And when one person in the body is hurting or something is really difficult for them, do you know, everybody else feels it because we're connected. We feel it in emotional pain. We feel it sometimes because someone's not able to do what they were doing before and others have to pick it up. It's just the same. So through a little bit of adversity, God taught me something. I'll tell you more things later. But there's more than that. Because whether or not we are able to see the learning opportunities depends on our view of life. If you see the life that you lead as being some kind of personal, I'm in control, series of objectives that you are going to meet in a regimented way, well, first of all, you're going to be disappointed because it ain't going to happen. I know someone who really does like to control everything and they spend a lot of their time quite angry when things don't work out. But if you have the attitude that your life is a unique, continuous, adventurous journey, with God, full of exciting opportunities to learn and experience along the way, suddenly your life changes and plan B becomes less of a concern. And Paul understood the principle of that. He understood this ongoing journey with the Lord, which is why much of Paul's teachings have a theme of endurance. Think about what he did. His life started in Damascus, literally on the road to Damascus. He was literally blinded. I'm pretty confident that wasn't what he planned for the start of that day. Then he went on to learn something and spend time in Arabia. And as he was in Arabia learning for 3 years, he lost all the privileges, all that prestige, the Roman citizen, the Pharisee held in such respect, all of that gone. I'm sure that wasn't what he'd been planning for those 3 years. Then he came back to spend time in Jerusalem to the church that had treated him with such suspicion. Hang on a minute, isn't he the bloke that was trying to kill us last month? And this was the church that he stepped into. I wonder whether all of that was part of his original plan. I don't think so. And of course, that was just the beginning of this journey. And he kept going because he saw this life, this experience of his life as a journey with God. And he could keep going because he looked for the opportunities to learn along the way. And Scripture's full of them. And that's what this passage in 2 Corinthians 1 emphasizes. His God is with him in all that he's facing. And so as he recognizes God is there, God comforts him. And he's able to pass that on to other people. Well, as I said, that's just the start of his journey. A journey that would take him to many different nations. Lots of exciting, amazing experiences. He would go through horrendous suffering. But he would see a stunning appreciation of a God who would deliver him. Because he saw the Lord as sovereign and in control. And so he could remain faithful to the end. In fact, he said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So often, I think we see life as a race, don't we? But we see it as a kind of sprint, or should I say, a series of sprints to get through the crisis that we're in as quickly as possible and come out to the smooth water at the other end. Have you noticed that's what we aim to do? So often, Paul didn't see it as a sprint. Paul saw life as a marathon to be endured. And so to find in those difficulties opportunities to grow in his relationship with God. And he was growing towards an ultimate destination of a life in tune with his Heavenly Father. I wonder how you see the ups and downs in your life. Do you see them as part of a journey, God's journey that he's invited you on? Or do you see them as just an inconvenience that somehow you've got to get past, or even something that God's not quite thought about and got in under control? And I wonder whether you've been taking the opportunities to learn the lessons he wants you to learn. So often we find ourselves so focused, so determined to get to the end of the race that I think we forget to look for the beauty and the amazing things that come with that journey. Which reminded me this week of John Bunyan. Have you all heard of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress? Most of you, imagine if it. How many people have read it? Anybody read it? Good. Few people read it. Excellent. I'll sit down then. Someone else can tell me. John Bunyan was an interesting character. He was a tinker. I don't mean that he's a naughty little lad, but he might have been. I mean he was a tinker, as in the profession that his father had had. He was also, therefore, incredibly poor. And life was a struggle. And part of his reputation, apparently at some stages, was the fact that his language was not always beautiful language. He could say a choice word or two. One day, a lady of ill repute picked him up and challenged his bad language. And he was so disturbed by this woman of ill repute challenging him about his language that he did some soul searching. And he came to find God, and he felt a call to use his mouth for different purposes. He felt God challenge him to be a preacher. Now, because he wasn't part of the established church, he was nonconformist, he didn't have a preaching license, so they sent him to prison. And they said we'd release him from prison if he were to stop his preaching. To which his response was, I would rather stay in prison and have my eyelids covered with moss than fail to do what God has called me to do. And so he stayed in prison and he endured. Not part of his plan, I'm sure, but in that time, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote a book which essentially summarized the journey of life which he'd come to understand as being this journey towards a continuous understanding of God. He wrote as though he was the main character, who he called Christian, headed towards a final destination, the celestial city, which we might think of as heaven. And on his journey towards there, all the experiences that he had, good, bad, horrendous, and wonderful, he put down in his book. Those experiences that you and I would call obstacles, things to get through as quickly as possible, he put down as the experiences. And so he listed all these characters that he came across along the way. But he didn't list them by name, as in John and Peter and Mary. He listed them according to the character that they showed. So there are all sorts of good characters, like Mr. Honest, Mr. Skill, someone called Mercy and Hopeful, and so on. And then there were characters who were rather more challenging. Mr. Fearing, Flatterer, Ignorance, someone called Obstinate, who refused to do what it was that God was encouraging them. And then somebody by the name of Giant Despair, who constantly wanted to give up. I think I've known people like that in my life too. Giant Despair. These were the characters that he'd met along the way of this journey. Do you understand that life is a journey? So I want to ask you the question this morning. In the past few days, even though you will have found moments of despair, as Christian did, as we all do, have you found this last week just to be a nightmare? Or have you made progress in your pilgrimage, in your walk with God? Well, earlier this week, I was pondering my inability to do what I had planned, and I read this in Jesus' Calling. Do not long for the absence of problems in your life. Okay, Lord, I'm listening. That is an unrealistic goal, since in this world you will have trouble. That's from John 16:33. You have an eternity of problem-free living reserved for you in heaven. Rejoice in that inheritance which no one can take away from you, but do not seek your heaven on earth. Begin each day anticipating problems. Remember, this is written as though Jesus is speaking. So he goes on, asking me to equip you for whatever difficulties you may have. The best equipping is in my living presence. That's the journey when we understand we're walking with God. Discuss everything with me and take a light-hearted view of trouble, seeing it as a challenge that you and I can handle together. Can I tell you that in the last few days, I have had some remarkable moments and far more light-hearted moments than I could have imagined. Ask Richard and Jackie, who saw me on the day. I could even smile, even in that situation. I have joked to you about not being able to do all the garden stuff, and sure, I've been frustrated by not being able to get on, but tough. But you know what? In this last few days, it has been a time of peace and rest that has been ridiculous. And in the process, I have been blessed so much. So I want to suggest as my third point that maybe the B in Plan B could stand for being a place of blessing that you might not expect. Let me share a few things from you. First of all, on that first morning when I woke up and then couldn't get out of bed, and I lay there for 4 hours thinking, this is interesting. Even in the pain and agony of all of that, I'm wondering what's going on. God was blessing me. The doorbell rang. It was Larry. I didn't know it was Larry at the time. I didn't know what he was doing. It could have been anybody. But you know what? When I was completely incapacitated and utterly helpless, what I found out later was there was Larry making a delivery of firewood for me so he could put it on the log burner. I didn't know anything about it. In my incapacity, God was providing for me in a way I didn't know. Thank you for the blessing. And then there was the rest of the day, because eventually, that kind of prompted me, I rolled out of bed and I managed to get up and go downstairs, which was interesting, because I spent the rest of the day wandering around like one of these people you see in a finishing school with a book on the head, you know, tiptoe, doing a slow motion walk, with my head as tense as you can imagine. So I figured I want to stay in a chair once I get downstairs for as long as possible and not move. So I went into the kitchen, gradually working my way around to the lounge. Went into the kitchen and I thought, well, all I've got is my pockets because I can't really carry very much. I need to steady myself. So I stuffed my pockets with everything that was at hand height. Apples, bananas, pears. I'll have another banana. They're always useful, good for energy. Oh, there's some biscuits out. All sorts of stuff, water, drinks. My pockets are bulging. It's probably why my back went into spasm just after it. And then went down. I sat down on the chair and laid out all my supplies to keep me going for the rest of the day. And that was my diet. It was the most screwed up diet and day you can imagine. And I sat there in the dark with the curtains closed. Right up until later in the day, someone who I just texted, Richard and Jackie, I texted just to let them know that I was in difficulty. They came around. And they came around with a real meal that was delicious, that was gorgeous, and that I could eat. What a blessing that I wasn't expecting. And then more than that, I was sharing what was happening, and I suddenly thought to myself, but you know, my neck is not getting any better at all. It's actually getting worse. And I realized I've been sitting there in the chair, trying to keep as still as possible, and tightening the neck muscles in my neck to stop it hurting, which was actually making it worse. Within 10 minutes, Richard had rigged up a head support on the back of my chair, and I was sorted. And I'm not kidding, within an hour of that happening, it started to improve. Two more blessings I wasn't expecting, so thank you. Bless you both. And then there was the greatest blessing of all, which was God's blessing of time and an opportunity to enjoy. I talked about the garden. Well, I may not have finished it the previous weekend, but we'd done a lot, and it was really good. As we sat in the garden, with me being utterly useless as a gardener on this occasion, the sky was blue. The temperature was perfect. The leaves on the trees were verdant, just amazing. And the blossom was profuse, particularly the apple blossom. And it dawned on me, if my plans, Plan A, had gone according to plan, I'd have seen almost none of that because my head would have been buried in the ground, looking and digging, doing the next little bit. With Plan B, I got to enjoy all of it. In fact, I said to Lorinda later in the day, I just realized I have spent more time in these 2 or 3 days enjoying the garden than I have ever done, than I've ever been able to achieve probably in an entire summer in the past. Because all we do is do the next bit of gardening that needs doing. Do you know the irony is the reason we're doing this gardening and landscaping it as we are is so we don't have a constant job of maintenance. So we don't have to be maintaining it all the time, can actually enjoy it. And with me, plan A, I'd have missed the best weekend of the year. And it was. That apple tree's no longer in blossom, it's come off. I'd have missed it. That's what God gives to us when we open our eyes to see. And it isn't just me. Annalise shared with me on Friday the blessings that she has seen in the horror of what she went through. She talked about all the people that stepped up, that came around her, the way they looked after her, the medical staff in Austria that were astonishing, the insurance company that came through big time. And then she shared a story that she said she didn't mind me sharing with you about a young woman in the house that she was staying with when she came out of hospital. She's in a lot of pain. She can't sleep easily. She's feeling dizzy. She can't move. This young woman in the house has learning difficulties. And Annalise was able to say to her, I'm in real trouble at the moment. Do you think you could help me with some things this week? She said it was as though the shoulders rose up. This young lady gained a few inches. She said it was as though her whole demeanor changed. She suddenly had a purpose. She had a reason to do things, something to do, and she did it brilliantly. Sometimes in your crisis, other people get to be a blessing for you, but in the process are blessed themselves. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe the Lord longs for us, not just to learn, see the journey, or even be blessed, but there's something else he wants. To see the whole thing as being much bigger. I really believe that God wants us to see in our painful situations, to see him inviting us to trust him and rely on him much more. So let me end by coming back to that passage in 2 Corinthians 1. And Paul, a man who knew more suffering and challenging circumstances than you or I will ever face, but who sees them as a continuous journey of God's comfort and teaching and blessing. And so he shared with the church in Asia some of the unprecedented hardships that he'd gone through. And in verse 8, he said this: we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. On him we have set our hope. Do you know the first response of most Christians for a crisis is to pray for the person in the crisis to get out of it as quickly as possible? Have you noticed that? I really am challenged as to how we might use the prayer chain more wisely. If God wants us to learn in some of these circumstances. Paul understood that, and he relished the opportunity to learn from God through it, and so build up his reliance on him. And as I was reflecting on this towards the end of the week, I then couldn't help but smile to myself as I read Jesus' calling again on Thursday, which began, do not resist or run from the difficulties in your life. These problems are not random mistakes. They are hand-tailored blessings designed for your benefit and growth. Embrace all your circumstances which I allow in your life, trusting me to bring good out of them. View problems as opportunities to rely more fully on me. Are you relying as fully as you should on God to take you through these things? Self-reliance is acclaimed in this world. Do you know what? Self-reliance falls so much in the face of what God calls his people to do that I'm going to suggest it is idolatry. My hardships this week have been nothing. They're trivial, and I laugh and I joke about them. I've had a bit of a pain in the neck, and some of you might quickly comment, "Well, that's all right, Steve, that's fitting, because you are a bit of a pain in the neck at times." I get that, I'll take that. But you know what? In my frustration, I have gained a confidence and a trust in God, even to give me a sermon out of it, that I really hope will speak to you too. And he's given me peace that has been ridiculous. So I'll come back to that little mantra that I shared at the start. I want to encourage you as you face things to be able to just pause before you panic and just say, "Okay, Lord, this is not what I planned, but what do you want to do with it? Or teach me through it." Let's pray.